This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust me. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Crushing that Nylabone, dog. Speaking of crushing that Nylabone, also crushing the Nylabone, the other end, Lady Ain't Tramping the Toy with Doggy, is my friend and yours from the Las Culturistas podcast and from Long Island, comedian, performer, ingenue, Matt Rogers.
Wow, blessed to be called an ingenue. You have no idea.
I know what that means.
I think a young starlet.
Yeah, it's like a young female who can do a lot of different things.
And
right?
You know, men can be ingenues too.
Hell,
I didn't
yes.
know this, but my
it's 2018.
It's 2018. You can be whatever you want. Identify as however you would like to. Ingenues out there.
I've been saying lately, I don't identify as a runner because I ran a half marathon and people ask me about it. And I go, I don't identify as a runner.
My friend that's like on Broadway, he's like, you know, it's hard. I'm getting a little old. I'm aging out of the ingenue types. And this is a straight guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think ingenue just it means anyone that can step out stage and look as if you're seeing the sun for the first time and we all buy it.
Yeah,
that's like, an ingenue.
If you can earnestly rub your eyes and yep. say, I just woke up, that's
absolutely.
An ingenue.
You're yeah. like, we're with you as if it's the morning at all times. Like you're a spring sprightly little chicken.
Does ingenue come from theater? Is that what it is? Or is it like, I thought it was like, or is it a character type?
Dude, let's say yes.
Let's say yes.
Let's say it does.
Remember although, 1 minute ago when I said, we don't look stuff up on this podcast. So it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. We're 1 minute in going, right or wrong?
I'm going to factually say that ingenue started with Rodgers and Hammerstein in the 1930s. Go
Hell,
ahead. Fucking
yes.
come for me, high and mighty listeners.
Come on, shitheads. Come after them.
But I love that.
I'm sure these mouth breathers have a huge opinion on the phrase ingenue.
But the thing is, I'm honored to be called an ingenue when I walked in here and you said I'm at peak gay. With my mustache and my fucking denim jacket.
You have a geniform on, you have boots, all denim, and a mustache. You look like, I mean, I'm into it.
Yeah, and I said it's like the normal heart.
Yes. That cracked me up. You are what in my head at my age yep. and like growing up in the 90s, this is what I think gay men look like.
Yeah.
Now I know what they look like. They look like everybody.
They look like everybody.
But in my head, this is what gay guys were when I was like 13.
No, yeah, I'm a fully, you're like fun uncle.
Yeah, yeah. You're yeah. like, that's Bruce.
Who's like,
is that his name? Nah, everyone yeah. calls him Bruce.
Everyone just calls him Bruce. He's Uncle Tommy's friend who puts on the fun music.
Yeah. Uncle Bruce has seen every movie. That's like when.
Don't you have an uncle like that? We talked about this. Like you yeah. are like a family friend.
I have a family friend that I was like thought was so interesting and charming. I was like, oh, he's just like
he's cultured.
Yeah, he's like I'm just like white trash, and this guy isn't. And I'm like, who? I feel like that's what I used to also when I was very young used to be like that guy must be gay because he's interesting.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You can live in a city and be straight.
Yeah, I had maybe we talked about this, but the guy that used to cut my hair, his name was Lex.
Oh,
did I ever
awesome.
Tell you about this?
No.
And I had no concept of that he was gay. I just thought he like talked so confident. He did my hair, and one time my mom was like, I don't know what to do with him anymore. Like, he's getting older. I think he wants it like short. He's like, leave it to me. And then did it, turn me around in the chair, wouldn't let me see my hair the whole time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then
where was this? On the island?
On Long Island.
What?
This was in Babylon. No, Lindenhurst.
Okay.
My mom used to work at a hair salon called Ecstasia.
Oh.
Which was clearly named by Lex, the gay man.
That's awesome.
But he flipped me around in the chair, and he like looked at my hair, and he like raised his eyebrows and goes, you look like a Marine. You look like
that's
a Marine.
Awesome, I sort of have a opening my eyes to homosexuality hair salon story too.
Yeah.
Maximus in Merrick, which
fuck
was
yeah.
like a kind of fancy hair salon.
Yeah.
A couple of girls from my school that I was friends with were like hair wash and assistant girls
yep,
there.
The girls.
And
yeah.
they were like, if you want to come get a haircut, if you can do it like on 0 minutes notice, you can do it for just like a tip. Some of these guys just want to like
yeah.
cut hair for fun and you throw them 30
they
bucks
need
cash.
Practice, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, we're in. And I was like bleaching my hair at the time. So I was like, yeah,
yep.
I'll come in and do whatever. And they're like, come in and do it. And we go in and it's these two girls who we think are hot. Me and my buddy Brian, who are both straight, go in. These two girls who we think are hot. And then 10 gay hairdressers
yep, yep, yep,
and they
yep,
love
yep.
us. And all yep. of a sudden I'm like, they're like, do you want to bleach your hair? I'm like, I'll do whatever you think I should do. And the guys, like, their eyes light up. We ended up going to see Blondie and B-52s with, like,
oh, wow.
Not even putting together that going to that concert at Jones Beach Amphitheater with salon employees might be a gay experience. Me and my buddy Brian go, and they're like, halfway through the thing, they ask, are you guys a couple? One of the dudes goes, are you guys a couple? I'm like, no, we're best friends. And they're like, oh.
What?
And then we're like, we're straight. And they're like, really?
Yeah.
They're like, we were like, oh, yeah. We had never sent messages in either direction.
Yeah.
But we were at a fucking B-52's concert, like, singing Love Shack.
Also at Jones Beach, which can get gay.
Right.
I've had the straightest and gayest experiences of my life at Jones Beach, actually.
Hey,
and without involving any sexuality. It was just like, I've seen OAR there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fucking
straight
OAR.
Straight AF.
Straight AF. I remember, like, I had, oh, well, this actually, I was there for Jax Mannequin, who was opening for them. Remember the band Jax Mannequin?
No, yeah.
So actually, it gets gayer.
Straight AF.
I'm like melting into gay in this chair. I'm trying. But the thing is, I remember going to that OAR concert, and I was like 15, 16 years old, and like fully eye fucking this girl at the concert. And then she like went off into like the ether, like never saw her again until months later. I ran into her at a track camp in upstate New York, and I was like, are you OAR girl? And she was like, are you OAR guy? And then we, like, I guess grinded on a dance floor, and I had a panic attack, and nothing happened.
I guess I had a panic attack on the dance floor.
And then my other Jones Beach experience is me and my best friend at the time, Nick, went to go see The Fray. Like, not a straight thing to do. And this guy that we knew from high school brought his girlfriend. He's like, what, are you guys, like, meeting people here? He's like, no, it's just the two of us. And, like, it was, like, this sick thing of, like, okay.
Yeah, good luck. Have
it
fun.
It wasn't, like, an open, arms wide open thing of, like, amazing, this straight guy's here seeing B-52s. It was like, oh, there's two dudes claiming to be straight here seeing The Fray.
Yeah. Get them out of here.
The soundtrack to Grey's Anatomy.
It's funny you say, I worked at Jones Beach. Anyone who listens to this podcast, I talk about it all the time.
Yeah?
I was a lifeguard at Jones Beach, Field 6 and Field 4.
Wow.
And you talked about the gayest and straightest stuff. Field 4 is like Club 4, we used to call it. Literally, it's just like guys in jeans drinking Coronas, hanging out with like chicks who are tanning.
Hell yeah.
All over the beach. Very straight stuff was happening there, aka it was one summer when I was single, we were like, you would just like walk around in your Speedo and like hit on girls.
Yeah.
But then when I worked at Field 6, apparently Field 9, which is not an official field, but if you go to Field 6 and head east.
It's off the grid.
It's off the grid. And it's like Nassau County's answer to Fire Island.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
The Pines.
Okay.
They call it Field 9 or
Field
the Dunes.
Nine.
And sometimes if you were working like all the way in the east stand, an old like 70-year-old leather tan guy in like an eye patch over his dick and like balls, a bathing suit so
wearing
small that you could see
cork.
His balls.
Yeah.
We were like, I don't think you're covering just your urethra.
Yeah.
And he would come up and he was eating an ice cream cone. He's like, Mr. Lifeguard.
Oh.
You know, and it was like a character of a person.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's gotta be really fun out. And there
honestly,
was like urban legends of like, I ran back there and these two guys were sucking each other off. Like
urban legends.
Like for like young straight kids, we're like, they're fucking in the woods. Like gay guys have it figured out.
Well, allegedly. It's an urban legend.
But that's what it was.
The
it was
mythology
like,
of gay sex out there.
And people older lifeguards would be like, I've never seen that. And someone's like, I did.
Oh my fucking god.
Hello,
no.
Mr. We have the voice is burned in my head. It's hello, Mr. Lifeguard.
And to be fair, we were all in Speedos.
Yes.
They actually made you wear a Speedo
you
as a lifeguard?
They didn't make you.
Oh, okay.
But you want to be as hydrodynamic as possible.
Of course. For all those times we go save lives.
Oh, we do. You got to enter the ocean, baby.
How many times did you enter the ocean as a lifeguard?
Tons.
Really?
Seriously.
So it wasn't just a thing where it's like,
no.
I'm a lifesaver in name only.
Yeah, no, because at the beach, it's like, I always say this on the pod, Jones Beach has like a city bus that can drop you off there.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people who aren't as familiar with swimming and maybe are trying to swim in jean shorts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also there's currents and stuff that people aren't familiar. I'm never like pulling someone in and doing CPR. But
the riptide thing is real.
It's just like people, kids with their heads up on boogie boards being like, unable to come in, that we have to go out and get and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, I was a South Shore fellow, so I did a lot of Robin Moses.
Oh, so you were a little further east. Yeah,
I was
RM5, RM2, as we used to call it at the beach.
We used to go to Field 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Great
now,
beach, white sand, great break, good surf break there.
Really? I was not a surfer, but I was a boogie boarder.
Oh,
I'm
dapping you up in person. We used to say the best things in life are done laying down. Would be like the boogie boarder defense against surfboarding. I had a subscription to Bodyboarder magazine.
You did not.
Me and my brothers were serious.
Wow.
We had fins, board bags. My dad, we went to the beach every single day when we were kids.
Yeah.
And my dad would just like, we would lay on our boogie boards instead of on our towels. We would like wash.
Did your parents say, they're like fish. They love to be in the water. I was always referenced as a fish.
Yeah, my mom would say, that's my little water rat. Oh, it's Jonathan. He's a little water rat.
You know, Matthew and Demi, they're fish. Chelsea, she's not a fish. She likes to sit right here. She's not a fish. Megan, she sometimes can be a fish.
Are you one of four?
I know. Those are my cousins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. And we weren't beach people. But my mom's best friend, Elena, who was like her best friend since high school, since Lindenhurst High School, she would go to the beach every day to the point where I thought it was normal to go to the beach every day and be truly another
race.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
She looked so dark, and I just thought, well, some people do that. They just go to the beach every day, and that's how they look. And now looking back on it, I'm like horrified because there's not enough sunscreen in the world.
That was us because my dad worked 3 to 11. So we would go to the beach in the summer. He would be like, the kids are home. I got to do something. He would take us to the beach every day at 8 a.m.
Wow.
And if it rained, we went to Roosevelt Field Mall and saw a movie.
Right.
But every single day we went to the beach. Every single day my mom was off, we went to the beach.
Yeah.
My aunt went to the beach. And I was 13 and like brown tan and like not putting on sunscreen.
Are you putting
on oil and shit? Like my dad would be like, put on the SPF 4 so you can get darker.
Tanning oil.
And I'm like 14 years old.
I know. I mean, trust me. I was like fully identifying as a metrosexual in high school. And so I was like, oh, we have to be as tan as possible.
Tanning and the gym are such a weird part of
the culture.
Long Island.
Yeah. And also, did you ever do the thing, like, I know you said you bleached your hair, but did you ever do the thing, like, to get a more natural blonde, put the lemon juice in your hair?
Oh, hell yeah. Or peroxide.
Yeah. It didn't really. I think it never worked.
Sun-in?
Yeah,
we sprayed sun-in in our hair, and it, like, made my hair, like, light orange and, like, the weirdest color, and I was embarrassed. Yeah.
We did
the lemon juice. I remember doing the lemon juice, like, every day for a week when we were going to Montauk for vacation, and I still couldn't get anything going on.
No, it really didn't work. I remember even knowing, though, I didn't bleach my hair. I highlighted my hair.
Smart.
Because did you do the thing where you bleach the tips?
I did frosted tips, of course.
See, I looked at that and I knew. I was like, this is not going to hold up. Even at like 12, 13, 14 years old, when it was like all the rage and everyone was doing it, like that, like,
because that probably
block of just a flip of your hair was blonde. Remember that?
Oh, I never did.
No, that was bad.
I did frosted tips where it's like, only like all around, but it was like I had roots. I was like an early male ombre.
See that worked though.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that was the Pacey.
Right. That was very much the Pacey.
Because I kind of had a self-proclaimed Pacey, Mark McGrath, Ricky Martin vibe. Because when I got super tan, people said I looked like Ricky Martin. That's how much tanning I was doing with
frosted tips.
And I was 16. I'm only half Italian.
You look like Ricky Martin.
Like, you look like a Latino.
Yeah, no, people would say, you look Spanish, and it would be a compliment.
I loved it.
It was like, not that it shouldn't be a compliment, but it's just like, it was just so funny. Like, everyone was racing to try to look like as black as possible, to be honest.
I went to a spring break in Florida with some Long Island girls that I was like loosely friends with. It was like college. My friends like, so and so is going to Florida, they rented a house, it's gonna be super cheap, we just have to drive. And I'm like, oh, I'll do it. And we kind of were friends with these girls, but it was kind of weird. But it rained like 2 days, and both days that it rained, we were there on spring break, those girls went to the tanning salon.
Yep. See, that wasn't ever
that's
something.
That's how important it was for them
I
to
know.
Get to.
And honestly, I have friends even to this day, like friends that are from like Rhode Island or like Long Island adjacent. And they'll be like, if I'm going on vacation, I have to go to the tanning
bed. Gotta get a base.
Before, but get the base tan.
The base tan is huge.
Oh, the base tan's huge for me even now. Like whenever I do come out here, I mean, the weather in LA has been kind of weird this week. Or for me, it's weird. It's not fucking hot.
Well, it is weird for even LA people. It's rained like 3 days this week. And those are the first 3 days in like 180 that it's rained.
But the thing is, I'm always excited to come out here because I do get a good base.
You gotta get that base.
And you gotta
I'm
all about that base.
No
well,
burn,
thank you, Miss
no
Trainer. But you know, when I used to get a base too, is I used to run cross country. And so the wind would give me a base even in the winter. They'd be like, why are you so tan? It's January. It's that's winter track, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
I'm out there.
I'm chapped.
Twirling those those
my
tracks.
Skin is hurting.
Yeah, well, I'm in pain, but it's my base. I have a base in January. Who can say that?
So I used to, eventually my family started going on vacation to Florida, like senior year of high school, or like
you only started then,
like sophomore year, because we used to go to Montauk in the summer all the time. Then we started driving to Florida, like in high school, and it's brutal,
horrible.
But we would get like 10 days at like Orlando, St. Augustine, and like Key West, and
I'd be like, shit.
Going back to school as tan as possible was like a dream.
Yep.
To
be, and like, they were like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Did you go over like President's Week? That's when we always vacation, in February.
We started going away in February once later my brother, like I was already working or out of college. Let's not say working.
I was already working steadily in
for
my
1 year
field
after college
choice.
Before I quit and was like, unemployment pays as much as being a PA. And I could still go on these auditions that I'm waiting to get.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, so I can audition during the day. It's good to have flexibility.
It's nice to have the flexibility. I haven't done anything in 5 days.
The president's was when we went away because it was like, wasn't going to be too crowded.
Yeah.
And it was I remember my dad was a teacher too, so he had off that week as well. So we would always go there, but the weather in Florida is very touch and go in February.
Oh,
I remember one time
you can get not hot weather.
You can get 40 degree weather, actually. And one time we were there, we were at SeaWorld in fucking park, like full coats.
Oh.
And like we still did the water rides because my parents were too scared to tell me we couldn't do the water, like any ride I wanted. I was like, we're in Florida, we're doing this.
We were in Florida, it was Orlando, it was raining. And we were in the pool because we were just like, we were insisted on being on vacation.
No, we're here.
We were aforementioned water rats. And we were like, we were just in the pool. And then someone comes out and goes, are you guys from Canada? We're like, no, we're from Long Island. They're like, person. Hindsight, the person was probably like, all right, let's get out of the pool.
Here's the thing. Here's what I want to ask you. Growing up on Long Island, I always thought we grew up in like a cool place. And then later on, people did start to make fun of Long Island to me. Like when I was in college, everyone was like, oh, Long Island, you know the jokes. I'm like, I actually don't know the jokes.
Yeah, I know. None of us do. That's part of the problem with Long Island is no one knows that it's not good.
Yeah, I know. It's like
when you're living there, you're like, this is a paradise. I have a beach here and I have the city there. I can't imagine why anything else would be better.
Right. Yeah. And like everyone says exactly what they mean and there's no bullshit here and et cetera. Everyone's like looking good.
And call your Jewish friends Jews.
Yeah,
like, you're
right.
We got to go hang out with the Jews this weekend.
And just
like,
so what? Casually racist all the time. Yeah. You think your high school is the hood when it has 30 maybe black people in it?
Yeah, we had a black block in our town that people called Little Africa.
It's insane.
Where it just like it happened to be like 12 black families lived on one on Peapond Road.
Yes.
And they were like, that's Little Africa.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, okay. Wait, what?
What? But then it's like, it's crazy because you do move away and like you kind of see it from far away and you're like, oh yeah, it's highly characterized. We'll call it highly characterized.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the Jersey Shore, that came on when I was in high school and I was like, oh yeah, I get why people are watching this because these particular people are crazy. But no, like the whole culture of it is crazy.
Right. Well, that's what, see, I was a little older when, I'm a little older than you. So when Jersey Shore came out, I was maybe in post-college and I said to myself, this is not new to me.
No.
None of that was like, I was like, everyone's like, whoa, this is crazy. I'm like, these are slightly heightened versions of people
right.
I went to high school
no,
with.
No, I knew every one of those people.
I was Ronnie.
I knew everyone. Did you identify as a Ronnie?
I identify as a Ronnie. Then once I actually, now this is an insane bullshit Hollywood C-list celebrity thing.
Okay.
Once I got to know them all, I'm more of a Vinny.
I buy that you're a Vinny, especially because we know Vinny now is like, does comedy.
Vinny is like, I mean, they're all very nice, but Vinny's like legit, like an actual sweetheart. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
cool.
He's like, yeah, I like to get fucked up and get girls, but at the same time, he cares about his family and like, you know, he bought his mom a house and all that shit.
Yeah,
he's
like
a real sweetheart. Yeah.
I gotta say, I think watching the show, even though I don't really match up with any of them, if I had to, I think I identify as a light Pauly D.
I see that. I see that.
I've,
kind of like a hype man, kind of like can bring a party like Pauly D can
definitely
bring.
Definitely, we're having a good
time. I've seen
time.
You host I Don't Think So Honey Live. It gets wound up.
We get the energy up.
DJ Matty R.
Honestly, my DJ name is DJ Rigatoni Danza.
Is it really?
No.
That's a great
I made it up.
My DJ name is DJ Goodfat.
DJ Good.
And in parentheses, like avocado.
Yeah. But just like avocado. And honestly, if I had to identify with one of the girls, I think I'm probably Jenny. I think I'm JWoww.
Oh yeah,
because I'm not fucking Angelina, that annoying one.
No, I'm not Angelina, and I mean, I'm actually I don't want to admit I'm probably a Snooki in real life.
Have you ever met Snooki?
Yes.
She did her podcast.
Oh, how was that?
Fucking crazy. She's vaping the whole time, getting so fucking high.
That's awesome.
It was so great. We were also drinking Prosecco. Like, it's her and her best friend, her like gay best friend. And Bowen and I went and did it. Bowen, my Las Culturistas co-host. And we just stepped into their vibe. It was like dark in the studio. She's getting so high, but she's like also like a good mom. She's like, oh, let me hold on. I have to text my husband. She's like taking calls every 5 seconds. We have to like pause and stop. The gay, I forget the gay's name, which is horrible, but like he was like this larger than life character. It truly was like, I don't know how Bowen felt, but I felt like very weirdly at home.
Oh, that's like, so fun.
Yeah, no, with personality. Cool. Like, I knew Sammy Sweetheart. I knew girls like that. And stop. Yeah. I knew Jenny, who was like, I'm gonna tell you exactly how it is. Come on, what the fuck? Yeah. I knew all those people.
I know.
So it wasn't a shock to me. Like, I could interact with them if I needed to.
As you may have assumed at this point, after years of listening to my podcast, that I record my ads separately than when my guest is here. So it's with great honor and excitement that I tell you I'm here to talk to you about Mack Weldon, all while just wearing my Mack Weldon underwear. Okay, I'm sure I lost about 40% of my listeners at that point when I said I was just sitting here in a tiny pair of silver underwear. They're the antimicrobial ones. Not that I'm dirty or anything, but they fit me perfectly and they eliminate odor. Guys, Mack Weldon has great socks for if you are a guy who wears shorts. They have great athletic socks. I wore them when I ran a half marathon. I ran 13 miles in Mack Weldon's performance socks. They were fantastic. I ran without underwear on, but I wear Mack Weldon underwear every single day. They are comfortable. They fit my weird body, which I always talk about, which maybe I'll gross you out again with that, is I have a big gut, no butt, thick legs, medium-sized pee-pee, and so I need a double XL, and they fit me perfectly. My wife refers to them as sexy. Believe it or not, these underwear are sexy on me. Get yourself a pair of Mack Weldons. Get yourself a ton of Mack Weldons, okay? You know, if you buy one pair and don't like it, you can get a return, and then you get to keep it. So for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code MIGHTY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order, MackWeldon.com, and enter promo code MIGHTY at checkout. Okay, so let's get into the dirty deets here. What high school did you go to?
I went to Islip High School.
Islip High School.
Which was like 270 people per class. Like, I think like just big enough for everyone to think they knew each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone knew the names of everyone and like basics, but like, you
not,
only really
not
knew.
Super into everyone's business.
Right, yeah. It wasn't small enough where it was like...
That was... Mine was like, we graduated like 290.
Right, so yeah, same deal. Yeah. But high school for me was weird because... It was overall pretty great, but I remember I came into high school being like super like conscious of my closetedness and like trying to fit in real bad.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question. I think we talked about this a little bit on your pod.
Yeah,
on Las Culturistas. But you were not out.
No, deeply not. And I don't think it's fucking easy.
It's not
maybe
easy
even
on
to this day.
I just had Elliot Glazer on the Talk Long Island.
Oh yeah,
it's so fun. I've had so many people on the Talk Long Island, but I was like, I haven't had any gay people on.
Oh
about
yeah,
Long
no,
Island.
It's a different thing for us.
It's very different. Yeah.
Because also, like, you know, I think people think because it's part of New York, and people have this association with like union people being like Democrats, but also socially, like, it's pretty conservative. I mean,
yeah,
like, and you know, even the representative from where I'm from, his name's Peter King. He's like a
boo.
He's
Peter
a fucking
King. Boo,
horrible.
Peter King, yeah.
And like, I know it got pretty close this time for Yuba Gretchen, who went up against him. But my dad, like, my parents are like Democrats. They're very critical of him, but I was bummed to see that he's still kicking around there, especially because it's been so fucking long.
Right, because the labor union people are Democrats in that they want to support the union, but they're not like as socially...
They don't want to watch two gay guys kiss.
Right.
You know
and
what
I think
mean?
That's just also like, that's like that 50, born in the 50s blue collar attitude
of
like,
yeah.
But those
and
are the
very
same,
much religion.
And a lot of religion.
Yeah.
Because either whether it's Judaism or
Christianity, Roman Catholicism.
Oh yeah, because it's Italians and Jews. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no.
I talked about this a little bit with Elliot too, but there's like something about that where everyone on Long Island already feels like they've been persecuted, even if they are upper middle class and like they bought a house when they were 20.
There's a chip on everyone's shoulder.
Because it's like, we're not big city folk over there. We're not these dumb Southerners. Yeah. We're not city folk.
We're real.
Yeah, we're real. We're blue collar. You know how hard it, like, that's where you would hear a lot of the, you know, Italians were the first blacks, you know, shit like that. Or like
Irish were persecuted too.
Right. You would hear shit like that and you're like, guys.
People in my family have said it to me and it's just like, wow, they are the hardest people to discuss privilege with.
Yes.
They don't, because they hear because that word.
Because it was
word.
Like brief, it was hard for them.
Yep.
So it's hard for them to see outside of, because we're talking, also it's a generational thing too, because we're talking about the generation that, my, like, the example me and some friends were talking about, Ben Rogers and Ryan Stanger, that, like, my dad would hit me on the ass and spank me. And,
yeah.
And I was, like, one of a few kids that got spanked. But he would be like, my father used to actually kick my ass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it's okay because it's less bad than what happened to
it's
you?
It's nostalgia porn, and they fucking love it.
Dude, it's, like, oddly nostalgic. It's
back
like,
in the day, you know, they think that because they had it a certain way, that that's better or the way that it should be, and we are sheltered.
Right.
But in reality, it's like, no, I'm sorry. What you went through was actually fucked up, and probably it's something you should deal with.
Right.
But the fact that anyone is hurting someone else as retribution for something is fucking bad.
Yeah,
and so I think it's because they got it from, and you know, it's no one's fault, really. I mean, I guess anyone can choose to change, but it's like, you know,
it's hard to. It's hard to.
Yeah, especially
if you've, and now the more you learn via therapy and like psychology, it's like, yeah, it's hard to learn to not be abusive if you were abused.
I'll say this. I mean, like, when I was coming out of the closet, like, I was 19, I'd say that it was happening. I told all my work friends.
You went
first.
To NYU, correct?
I went to NYU, so I did a whole freshman year of NYU.
By the way, I think we have a friend in common, Carly Fomo.
Carly Fomalon?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, she's one of my good friends from Carly Fomalon's, like, she's a casting director in New York.
Yes, that's how I know her. She cast me in a movie called Fourth Man Out, a gay coming of age drama.
I love
with
that.
Your boy. She messaged me when I did Las Culturistas.
Oh, really?
So shout out to Carly Fomo.
So Carly Fomalon, she's the casting director down in New York. I think when I was coming out, so yeah, I knew Carly my freshman year, actually, when I was like quote unquote straight still. And then the way it worked out, like the hierarchy of it was like, I told my work friends first at the restaurant I worked, Nikki's on the Bay in Bayshore.
Wait, and also we have a connection there because I told you my friend was your manager.
Oh, wait.
One of the Calabrese girls.
One of the Calibre. Yes. Okay. Yeah, wow. Yeah. What was her first name?
It was either Kelly or Christina.
Kelly. Yeah. Kelly. Yeah.
Because there's three of them. And so their mom is my mom's childhood best friend.
Yes.
So that's like her. That mom is my aunt. They're my cousins, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she might have worked at the Clam Bar.
Oh, because she DM'd me when I did, when I posted a picture of us for Las Culturistas.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely remember
this
Kelly.
Is what, this, the best part about Long Island. This is what we call Jewish geography. Even if you're not a Jew, you're allowed to say it where you're like, where are you from? Oh, you went to Herrick's? Do you know so and so? And then you just connect.
Well, sometimes you get there. And then oftentimes I also think it's like, oh, you're from Long Island? Where? And then you say the name of a town and I say the name of a town. And we're like, cool, we've heard of that.
Yeah, and it's like Copeg, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, Copeg.
Ronkonkoma.
Yeah, right. Ronkonkoma is everyone's favorite one. It's the funnest to say,
it
for
is.
Sure.
Lake Ronkonkoma. It really works.
The whole Lake Ronkonkoma.
That's where my brother goes to get his tattoo done.
Well, there you go. But I feel like the work friends were easiest to tell because it was like, I didn't really care what they thought. It was just like, how will they react?
I feel like 17 to 22 year olds that are working are a little more independent. You know what I mean? Like, those are
people.
Well,
I got told many times by like literally 16 year old bus girls. I was like, this one girl I worked with was like, my brother's gay, but like, I told him, like, it's fine, but I don't want to hear about it. And that's actually like a prevailing, I think, ideology on Long Island.
Also,
I don't know about now, but like, it's fine. We like it, but we don't want to hear about it, and it's your business.
But that's also like a weird lie.
It's fucking not
true. It's such
you're
a
homophobe.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want to hear, if you go like la 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 la, that's you're afraid.
You're homophobic.
Yeah, and your fear should not affect like Also, I don't want to hear about most people's sex lives, but that's not what being gay is. It's not like, I understand you're gay. You're like, but stop telling me about butt fucking. It's like, I never was going to talk to you about that.
No, it wasn't what I was going to lead with here today. But I remember like, I told them, and then my high school friends, I kind of like, you know, told the girls first and then the guys. And I remember my best friend, he was the hardest to tell because I was like, well, if he doesn't accept me, then fuck it. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And then I told my mother, and then a year passed before I got the gumption up to tell my dad because...
And you, it was a secret with you and your mother?
And that was hard.
And that was hard? She and how did like, she handle that?
She said, well, are you going to tell your dad? And I was like, I think I need time to tell my dad. And then she was like, okay, well, you know, I think that do what you're going to do. But the thing is, like, you know, in a marriage, you're not really supposed to have secrets. And I was like, okay, well, I'll let you know when I'm ready. And so then... She called me one day when I was at school and she was like, okay, so here's what I think will happen. You'll come home like for spring break. We'll all sit down and we'll pretend that you're telling us both at the same time. And I'll like act like not surprised, but I'll be supportive. Like I'm with you, but like I'll act like I'm hearing it for the first time. And I said, I got so mad. I was like, I can't believe you're making this about you. I was like, me, and she was like, well, and then she got really kind of like nervous. And I was like, do you ever think... That like, I understand you have this relationship with your husband and there's like supposed to be like transparency there. But what about your relationship with me? I'm asking you to do something.
I need your help. We have to supersede.
I was like, this is not about you.
Right.
It's just not. And so she was like, you're 100% right. Just tell him by yourself. And then if he asked me if I knew, I don't know. We'll deal with that. But that's not your responsibility. And it kind
and
of
was
the
like. That's the answer. That's the correct
thing. Yeah, it was. And right. So it was the first time. Where I kind of thought to myself, because you know, growing up, your parents say, we're right about everything. My dad used to literally tell me, I know everything.
Oh,
so that's the way that they keep their, and that's kind of when I kind of was started to like step into like my own identity and kind of become who I was. And I told my mother that it was the very first time I ever like told my parents something. And I was like, no, you know what? I actually have lived in experiences too.
I have a piece of information that you don't have and you don't understand and I do.
And right. And so I think that like finally telling my father who was great about it, I mean emotional about it, but great. That was tough because it was like, it was also watching him deal with new information because this is new to a lot of people who are in their 50s and 60s. You know what I mean? Like this whole thing of like, and then forget about like understanding trans issues.
Oh,
you know,
right.
But now I'll tell you like the way that my father has changed in the last decade, I'm so grateful for it. And he sits in front of the fucking television. He watches the news all day. My poor mother has to listen to it. He fucking hates Trump with a burning passion.
Oh,
and I mean,
awesome.
It's different. I see him engaged politically in a way that he never really was. I think because nobody really was. That's one thing I guess you have to give like the new kind of social atmosphere is it's like everyone cares. Like
I mean, I only
numbers.
Started caring like mid Obama.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was only because he like lit me up in an interesting way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like
I mean,
didn't even like when Bush was president, like I didn't think I was young. I was naive.
I knew it was bad.
And I was like, I know he's bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. And also, and that, again, I should say this is coming from privilege as a
of course.
White straight male who could afford to go to college and all that. Nothing like that was even touching me.
Right.
But I was like a little libtard running around.
Yeah.
But I just also didn't realize how much I was benefiting from a broken system too at the same time.
But yeah, I mean this.
My dad was dying for a while. He had brain cancer. He got surgery and he was in recovery for a while. And he kind of. During that time, he was like, watch. He worked for the news. He worked for Fox, actually,
wow, okay.
But not Fox News, Fox 5, a local New York affiliate.
Of course.
And he was watching the news. He was kind of plugged in. And he was like, when Obama was running for the second term, would that where does that play? No, it would
That's,
have been Obama's
be 2012.
First, yeah,
so
no,
2008 was the first time.
Yeah, so because he died in 2010. So 2008, Obama's running. He can't go vote because he's in the hospital.
Fuck.
And he sends my mom, who doesn't vote, who doesn't do anything, who just does whatever her wealthy widow friends tell her to do.
Mm.
He goes, you have to go vote for Barack Obama for me. And that's weird for my dad, who was kind of casually, he like was an interesting guy.
He knew it was important.
He knew it was important, but he was like the kind of dude who would like not be happy that it looked like Black kids were being sketchy near the house or something like that.
Yeah.
He would be the guy with, but then I watched him kind of get away from all that and sort of like understand that his poor upbringing was like kind of similar to other people's. And
right.
It was like a very, and then when he got like fully, he's like, it's bullshit that Jonathan has all this college debt, you know, it's bullshit. And he started like seeing these things and I'm like, he becomes an interesting guy and then dies like 6 months later.
Yeah.
I'm like, you motherfucker.
I think when you're...
we almost were able to start connecting.
I know, right? Fuck. I think when you start to actually confront real shit in your life, that's when you start to like... And that's the thing is it's like all these kind of people I know from Long Island who are like Trump supporters, like extended family members of mine who it's difficult for me to talk to now and connect with, they think they've had experiences and they think they've had hard shit go down, but they haven't really left like the small bubble of where they're from. And I'm not saying
you get a lot of that. You get a lot of like, look, I've been around the block. I'm 40. I've done things, and it's like, yeah, but you've done only
you've been
things
around
in this town.
Literal block.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been to the. I mean, then yeah. You have to ask people, how many restaurants do you go to? Do you have a few favorite ones?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I introduced my entire family to Pad Thai last Christmas.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, they hadn't
I don't think we knew what guac was.
I didn't have sushi until I was 21 in college, and my then girlfriend, now wife, was like, we're going to get sushi. I'm like,
what?
Raw fish. And I like found myself reiterating shit my like blue collar uncles. Hey, you're not going to even fucking cook it, bro. You know, and then I have it and I'm like, this is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Like when people are forced to open their eyes a little bit, crazy things happen. And that's what's so frustrating, I think, about like the Trump stuff.
Yeah.
Is it's like, these aren't unintelligent people.
No.
Like, and that's what bothers me. Is it's like,
and you've seen them come around on
for
other things. Yeah. And it's
and
like,
then I'll tell you what else is fucked up. Like in my extended family, there's one very wealthy family and one very, very middle class, maybe even lower middle class family. And they both vote for Trump. And I'm like, you guys don't see this is different. I have one aunt who's like complaining about her taxes and her billiards room, and one aunt who like lost a lot of stuff to Sandy, and she's like frustrated, and they both think they're going to get the same. How could you possibly get both the same things out of the same?
It's crazy.
Out of that man.
I will say for Long Islanders too, for lefty Long Islanders,
yeah,
Trump is very similar to the Long Island. Like he's objectively kind of funny.
Yeah,
I hate to admit it, but he's like, and he's funny in the Long Island way, where he's like a bit of a bully, a bit of a dick. I mean, he's from Queens, but he knows Long Island.
He
like,
knows how to talk to the people. Like
yeah,
that.
It's, yeah, yeah. He golfs. He sort of is like what my mom loves him. Mm. My mom thinks he's handsome.
Wow.
Because he looks kind of like my dad.
Wow.
Which is fucked up for me to deal with.
I know, fuck.
But like my mom also would go to Atlantic City all the time and go to Trump and be like, wow. And my mom can't equate like anything but like money is success. That's another problem with Long Island too.
Yep.
Is that, and it's because everyone is middle class and a lot of middle class scraping for more, or people who got rich and now live on Long Island. I think money is equals success no matter what. And it's like, arguably, money equals intelligence, money equals blah, you know what I mean? Where it's like, well, she's rich, let's listen to her.
Yeah. And it's also basically segregated. I mean, like, there's whole towns where they're, like, known of as, like in white circles, they're like, oh, that's like a black town.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, because that's when it's like this weird melting pot, but it's like, it's still town to town. Because I grew up in Freeport, where I was the white people were a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And then in seventh grade, I moved to Belmore, and there was like 10 black kids in my elementary school.
Yeah.
And I went from being like one of 10 white kids, and I only moved like 4 miles, you know, two towns. And it was a completely different, and I'm like, this is, and then there's like Roosevelt, Uniondale, like these towns that like when you say them, you know that they're black towns. It's like, how is this? Long Island is like, and that's why when even our experiences on Long Island are not even exactly the Long Island experiences, which is kind of.
And they also think that because of that reason, they think they know diversity. They think they have diversity on Long Island. It's like, what do you mean? Like, we see so many of them.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, meanwhile, I think I knew 2 Asian people growing up.
Right.
Maybe.
And now you're contractually obligated to hang out with one as often
for the rest of my life.
Not a bad deal with Bowen.
No, the best.
You could do worse.
But the thing is, when I was growing up, like in my high school, like I started to, there was 2 elementary schools. There was Comac Road, which was north of Montauk.
Mm.
And then there was Sherwood Elementary School, which was south of Montauk. And
now you're talking Montauk Highway.
So
which
there
is Sunrise Highway for us Nassau kids.
Right, okay, yes.
So 27 if you're looking at road signs. Yeah.
So like basically if you could afford to live down by the water, you had the money. And if you were up above that street, you were not by the water and you didn't have the money.
That's North Belmore and South Belmore.
Yeah.
Same thing, North Merrick and South Merrick.
And so I remember when the two schools combined, I started to make a lot of friends with the south of Montauk kids. And my mom was like, oh, you're hanging out a lot in south of Montauk. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, I guess you don't understand.
Now,
and I went, they had like a beach club. Yes. We didn't have a fucking beach club.
Oh, let me ask one more question about south of Montauk. By the way, see, I told you he's going to bring you all
this. This is so funny. Arthur has put so many gifts on my lap.
He's brought you literally all four of his toys.
And thank you.
And now he's passed out.
Yeah. It's tiring.
It's been exhausting.
It's the giving season. It's the Christmas season. He knows that. And it's also fucking tiring. You're doing all your shopping right now, babe. Yeah, take a break.
Artie, get on Amazon, my brother. Were the south of Montauk kids Jewish?
No, because South Shore, there were no Jews.
But in Merrick... In South Balmore and South, that was what it was. It was the rich kids lived on the other side, and a lot of them happened to be Jewish. And then our junior highs, the way Balmore Merrick worked was there's like 8 elementary schools, and then like a couple of junior highs, but one major junior high where all the Kennedy kids, which is the South Balmore, the rich neighborhood, who went to Kennedy? I think Lindsay Lohan, or she went to Calhoun.
That would make sense.
Yeah, but like Kennedy is like a rich school. Kennedy and the Mepham kids all went to junior high together. So I had like a plethora of these friends. I had 4 Seths. I went to 4 different Seths bar mitzvahs.
See, I used to love the name Seth and didn't know it was a Jewish name. I'll name my kid Seth. And then someone was like, well, you're not Jewish.
It sounds like a warrior's name to me. That's why I liked it.
I thought it sounded like a hot guy's name. Yeah, I'm like, the guy's names that I used to love growing up, it's so long. I loved like Trent. I loved Brent.
Oh, well, the girls' names I loved growing up were like
Ashley,
Brooke, Amber.
Yeah.
If a girl was named Brooke, I was like, fuck, I'm going
to come. I used to say, like, if I ever have a daughter, I'm going to name her Ashley Rose, which is the fucking stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. Sorry to any Ashley Roses out there, but
no,
like...
I mean, an Ashley Rose is a fine name. If you're born in 2018, you can't be named that.
No.
But it's fine if you're 30 and that's your name now, that's fine.
Were there a ton of Johns?
There was 4 Jonathans in my junior, and I'm a Jonathan. That's why everyone calls me Gabrus since I was 13, because...
Yeah, you gotta differentiate.
And I've said this on the pod before, but I want to let you know, my group of friends in junior high, we were called the Johns and the Mikes. It was 4 Johns, 5 Mikes.
Wow.
And like an Andrew.
So you went by last names.
And so every one of those guys still goes by their last name.
Wow.
And we're all almost 40, and some guys own delis, some guys are lawyers, some guys are married, some guys aren't. Everyone still knows each other by their last names.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like honestly, Brannigan, Reese, DiDomenico, Youngling, Osner, Gamers.
And that's why I'm Matt Rogers.
Yes.
I'm not Matt. I no one ever just says, and maybe my immediate friends, like Sudi and Bowen, and like they call me Matt and stuff.
Right.
But like to everyone else, I'm Matt Rogers. I also think it's a 3-syllable name thing.
That 3-syllable name is a great, you'll always be, or if you're a 2-syllable name, like, you know, you're like John Smith, everyone will always call you John Smith.
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. I mean, but I remember growing up, it was like so frustrating because... Oh, at the time, I liked it because I blended in. I was Matt Rogers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's like there's a fucking fuck ton of Matt Rogerses. You can go on Google search and search
Matt Rogers
me and it's
is like a name that a superhero would have.
Yes.
In like his alternate identity would be like Matt Rogers. Perfect. Blend
there's
in.
There's famously a Steve Rogers.
Right,
and that's
yes,
Captain America.
Yeah. The most famous of all of them.
Yeah. No, but that was that. I never felt unique. And also my middle name, they tease me a lot about this, but my middle name is Richard. So they say, oh, Matt Dick Rogers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now I love that my middle name is Dick. Looking like this.
You don't have to tell me that your middle name is Dick when you have that jean jacket and mustache.
And that
on.
Mustache, yeah.
I had some mustache issues recently. I should tell you this. I saw Mission Impossible Fallout with Henry Cavill.
Oh, sure.
And he's rocking a mustache in it.
Sure.
And he's looking kind of buff. And he's playing sort of like a very funny, dorky character. And I like... There's a moment where he like flexes a little bit, and I felt something that I haven't felt towards a man since.
Well,
a guy, I was like, I literally the joke I made after, and I may have said this on the pod. I made the joke, and I was like, I need to find out from someone if this is like offensive to say, but he makes me want to ask more about the Q in LGBTQ. Like, what exactly is the Q? Can you be pretty much straight, but sometimes a dude
well,
is
well, there's
hot?
Literally, there's a spectrum. So
yes.
You might, I guess they'd call me a Kinsey 6 gay, full gay, not interested in women.
Yeah.
But there are the Kinsey 1, I guess the Kinsey 1 scale, that would be completely heterosexual. But you might be a 1.3.
Yeah.
You might be a 1.3.
We were saying, no, me and Drew Tarver had this conversation. He's like, no one should be a Kinsey one. He goes, Kinsey
one. Drew Tarver, I wonder. He might. He seems like a four or a five to me.
Yeah, he. I think he does whatever. I think he does what he needs. He's like, female casting director? I'm straight.
You said it.
He was like, no one should be like all 100. Like, no one should be a zero on the Kinsey scale. And we start joking that Kinsey, if you're a zero, you're probably in jail.
Yeah.
And then if you're in jail, you're getting the shit sixed out of you.
Honestly. And then you leave a solid three.
Yeah. Then you're like, hey, brought me
and
back
like,
the
it's
other
just thing. What I know. Yeah. I've come this far. But no, I never, ever, ever, ever fucked girls ever. Yeah, like, no. never had the interest. Like, truly terrifies me. And I think that, like, I had a girlfriend in high school, like, you know, we would make out, like, we would have one date a week.
Yeah.
We would, Sunday afternoon, we'd go to Applebee's, I'd fall asleep.
Well, that's why she thought you were straight.
Right.
Took her to Applebee's on a date.
I'd take her there in my Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, 1995.
You know your boy drove a Jeep Cherokee Sport.
Seriously? It was green.
The dream car.
Yeah, I fucking loved it.
It was a dream car.
I got it as
my college graduation gift.
Oh, really?
Because I wanted it so bad. And then I moved to New York City and sold it in 1 year.
Yeah. They sold it without my, well, to be honest with you, it was their fucking car. I mean, right. They bought it for me. They can do whatever they please. Right. But I remember they sold the car and it was like truly devastating. I actually named that car Jeff after my driving instructor, who was a fucking crazy person.
I had a freak driving instructor.
I think they're
too.
All freaks.
They have to be.
Yeah.
I think because they just want to sit in a car with kids all day. That's already fucked up.
Parents
don't want to drive around with their kids in the car.
No.
Now, this is a strange man who will let other kids drive him in a car.
The concept of that whole driver's ed program is fucking crazy. They put us together, and it was me and my two friends and this one random guy. Me, my friends Kenny and Kevin, and this guy Kwok, we only knew him by his last name. He was one of the very few Asian people I knew. We called him Kwok. And then Jeff, who made us call him Little Jeffy. He was not little.
Little Jeffy?
He looked like an ad for a pedophile. Like, it was like, come get the pedophiles here. They look like this. It was very that.
If I can quote our friend Donald Trump, a central casting pedophile.
He loves central casting. Yeah, but this guy was fucking crazy.
I don't want to play who's driving ed instructor was crazier. That's Lil Jeffy's pretty crazy.
I haven't even told you the specifics, but go on.
I just want to tell you, this is the one specific of my driver's instructor.
Go for it.
First of all, he made us all eventually learn something called, like, ladies and jelly spoons, I come before you to stand behind you to tell you something you already know. Like some weird...
And you still to this day.
And it's stuck in my head. But also, it was like a 3-week program or whatever, he always wore a latex glove, like a rubber glove.
Okay, you're in the lead.
With the fingers cut off.
What?
We think he had like a skin disease on his palm that he was like embarrassed about and didn't want
to... Did
wanna,
you ever
like,
ask about it?
We were horrified to talk to him about it. Dude, he didn't speak to it. So he just had like a weird rubber glove on his hand. We were like, I mean,
I bet he'd be like,
central casting pedophile too.
I bet he'd be like, it's my driving glove.
Right.
People are there so fucking
People
crazy.
People are fucking weird. All right, so go back
Let
to
me
Lil,
share.
Lil
okay,
Jeffy.
So Little Jeffy made us call him Little Jeffy. He in his glove compartment had...
Cut to right now, you have a son, he comes home, he goes, Dad, my driver's instructor, or anyone I know
I
was named
dare.
Lil Jeffy, you'd be like, out.
Out, you're out of there, you're getting
there.
Another
We're
person.
We're gonna move.
And I, honestly, it's so fucked up, but I grew to kind
of
like this person because he was like quirky and like I liked it. Well, I'll tell you why we liked him. But like, he had porn in his glove compartment. So he'd pull it off and he'd say, this one's my girlfriend. And he would swear that they were really dating. And he would say, and we were like, you're not.
I think showing pornography to minors does make him a pedophile at this point.
For sure. It definitely was weird. I mean,
think he's legally.
I don't think we saw like nipples and like pussy, but
right.
I think like it was like they were pornographic.
It was a
racer
mag.
It was softcore.
Yeah.
And so basically he was like, that's my girlfriend right there. And there she is in another picture. And we were like, we literally, because it was two of my friends, and we were like, you don't date this girl. And he was like, yes, I do, you fucking idiots. I do.
Little Jeffy dates whoever he wants to date.
He would cut lessons short when he got pissed at us. He'd be like, I don't like you guys today. We're going back. Or he would take us to Checkers. And we'd sit in the Checkers. He'd be like, you guys sit over there in order that you eat this Checkers, and I'm going to fucking sit in the car for the rest of the time. Oftentimes, he'd be like, we're not going to learn anything today. We're going to go to Checkers. And then we would always go to Checkers, where Sonic one time went to, because there was one Sonic on Long Island.
Oh, I never been to Sonic growing up on Long Island. We had one Checkers like over by Hofstra. It was like on Hempstead Turnpike or whatever.
But then he made us go 100 miles per hour on Sunrise Highway to see what it felt like.
That's actually not a terrible idea in a weird way.
In a strange way, it made sense to us, so that we were like flagrantly breaking the law.
Right.
You know what I mean?
When my buddy got his driver's license and got a Volkswagen Jetta, as everyone on Long Island wants for their first car.
Sure.
We took it down to Ocean Parkway right by Jones Beach and got it up to 110 miles an hour. And the car was like rattling and flying around.
Yeah.
And so eventually he like told someone, and someone was like, you had friends in the car, right? And they were like, yeah. And he was like, oh, good. Because like, if you didn't, like, that, those cars are a little too light that you can like blow all over the road. We were like,
holy
we
fucking
just
shit.
Didn't know that. We were just like, we got a car. Let's go 100
let's go,
miles.
Let's
an
go
hour.
As fast as we can, truly thinking you can never die.
Right. That's crazy that Jeffy.
And one other thing, he used to use racial slurs. He'd see like black people on the street and just call them the N word and just yell it out.
That's so fucking crazy. And he was teaching children.
And he was teaching us. We were 16.
That's wild. The last detail from my driver's ed is...
And I passed my test on the first time. Some fucking how.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I got one nick on my road test because I didn't look like a third direction when I was parallel parking.
So you didn't pass the first time?
I graduated. I passed on the first time.
I did one thing wrong, too. I remember I was taking my driver's test in my mom's car, which was a Sebring. Which were super sensitive. So you'd put your foot on the gas and the thing would fucking fly.
Right.
But I remember it was a little sensitive, so I was being tentative, and so I think there was some issue with a stop sign where like I stopped and it was too jerky, and she was like, I mean, she didn't like that. And then my parallel park was not perfect, but I think statistically she didn't have the points.
Right. That's
to
what
knock
happened to me.
During
the parallel park, I didn't like look a third time and I got like a little
ding. It's so fucked up. And now here I am, like I'm probably coming back out here for pilot season, do February, March out here, and I don't know how to fucking parallel park at all, and you need to know.
And I moved out here 6 years ago. My wife has a parking spot in the back. I don't. I've been street parking for 6 years now. I'm awesome at parallel parking.
Well, that's a good thing to be good at.
I never felt like more like a dad than being like, oh, I can get in there.
Yeah.
You know, like that makes me feel like such a man, and I'm not like that at all. And it's, oh, one last thing. I got, on the first day of driver's ed, I have me and my best friend Chris at the time and two other kids we don't know. We all take it together. He's been driving a lot with his mom and dad. Uh-huh. I've only driven once.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's like, who wants to go first? And I'm kind of scared. And he's like, I'll go first. And he's like the confident driver, and we're like, nice. We make a left off of Hempstead Turnpike, and we get fucking T-boned.
Fuck.
On the first day of driver's ed, the first kid driving, 8 minutes into the class, we get absolutely T-boned. I get hit. The seat I'm sitting in.
Shut up.
The car hits the side of the, and it hurts. No one gets hurt. The car's kind of banged up. The cops come, and the cops are like, this isn't a driver's license. And he goes, I know, I'm in driver's ed. Like, all this shit, and the driver's ed instructor's got the glove on. He's like, all the shit gets wrapped up, the accident, they all exchange information, and then he's like, all right, which one of you guys is driving home? And I'm like absolutely shook, and he's like, you gotta learn to drive eventually, John. And
holy
I just like
fuck.
Got in the front seat my first day of driver's ed right after the car was in an accident and drove back to wherever.
And the car was fucked up.
The car was fucked. Yeah, it was terrifying. Terrifying.
I got pulled over once for speeding. Actually, coming from my job in the marina, I was fucking flying out of the marina, and this cop pulled me over, and that was fucking scary. And then I've been in two accidents. And one was like on the Belt Parkway,
ooh, geez,
which was fucking horrible because it's so busy. And
I know it's
over,
like six lanes, and you got.
And it
get
also
all the
wasn't my fault. The guy in front of me was tailgating the car in front of him, and he hit him. And then like. The guy behind, because I stopped, the guy behind me hit me. And of course, what happened? The fucking, you know, knuckleheads in front of me who like caused the accident drove off because they had like a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm stuck there dealing with the cop that comes.
Ugh, so
and then
stressful.
The other time was this happened. I'm making a right-hand turn out of the parking lot of my high school. Kid flies out on a bike. A fucking comes out. I hit the kid.
He hit you. He hit the side of your car.
He flew out into the middle of the road. He like wasn't paying attention. I'm making a right. Right hands around. I had the green light. It just was like a moment of craziness.
He was okay.
He was okay, but like he broke his wrist.
Right. Right.
And
right.
He wasn't okay, but like no, he wasn't like nothing happened.
Yeah. You don't have nightmares.
No, I'm not like tortured by this every day. Yeah. But I remember I didn't get a ticket because it was ruled an accident because it fully was. Like these things happen. Of course, my parents' insurance took a huge hit.
Right.
But that's another reason why I'm happy I don't drive, and I'm kind of anxious to come out here and drive, which I know is not a great state of mind to be in when you're about to drive.
Yeah.
But
when I was a junior,
I don't love
when
those moments fucking freak me out.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing is, also now you've been living in New York City for so long, so you haven't been driving. So I sort of got the same feeling when I first moved out here. But all it is a matter of is like the second you drive for 1 month, you're like, oh my God, right, this is really easy. You just like forget that it's easy.
It's truly muscle memory. And I used to drive all the time in high school and then when I was coming back and forth from college for a couple of years. But it's just been a solid decade of me really not doing it.
That was like my exact thing. I didn't drive for like 9 years till I came out here.
And it's different out here. It's like the exits are on both sides of the road.
It's kind of a little complicated, but I find the driving out here to be a lot like Long Island.
Okay.
Like weird parkways that are kind of hard to understand of like which one goes where. But more importantly, all these main thoroughfares like Sunset and Melrose and Beverly, they all feel like, or Hillhurst even, they all feel like Hempstead Turnpike, Jerusalem Road, Sunrise Highway, where it's like strip mall, strip mall, strip mall. If you make a left here, it's the suburbs. And then if you make a right there, it's a strip mall again. It feels like Long Island in that way. You can kind of get used to LA driving like that.
Yeah.
I hit a parked car when I was 17 in front. I was looking, driving home back to class after Taco Bell, looking at a garage sale, crashed into a parked car.
Fuck.
The people at the garage sale all looked at me. I panic, drive my car to school, get my friends out. I go, if I leave the car here, they're going to think we're high school kids. I got to bring this car home and hide it. So I hide my car near the high school. Cops come.
Is that a hit and run?
It's technically a hit and run on a parked car.
Is that a felony hit and run?
I don't know if it's a felony, but here's the crazy part. The cops come like to the school and are looking around. We don't know what they're looking for. It could be my car. Mm-hmm. The end of the story will help explain. Maybe it wasn't. They were like looking around the school. They don't see a car that has a big damage on it. I call the police later on that day. I have like an absolute panic attack. I'm like, did anyone report a hit and run on Camp Avenue? I feel terrible. And they were like, no reports. I'm like, well, if anyone reports a hit and run, please call this number, give my mom's house number, because I was the one who did it. It's like, okay. I'm like, just real quick, if no one does call, am I in trouble for telling you this? And the police were like, no. And I was like, okay. And then for like 3 days I was like, no one called. And then no one ever called.
Wow.
I didn't learn my lesson.
I watched my friend commit a hit and run and nothing. And like the people who owned the car like came out and saw that it was like fucked up, and I guess they never called the police either. I people must like just kind of feel like that's the way of the road.
Yeah, or people must be like, I can't get involved with like insurance and cops because I'm too sketchy.
It is. I mean, honestly, it is a fucking pain in the ass.
Oh, I just took a woman's door off on Melrose.
Mm.
She opened up her car door as I was driving. I didn't see it, so she opened it like right as I got there, and I was in the right lane. She was parked far enough from the curb, and she just swung her door open. I fucking didn't even see it, just heard it. Bugged out, thought I didn't know what I hit. I thought I clipped a mirror maybe or something. I pull over. It's right here by the Hollywood Improv around the block. I don't want to convey where I live, but I pull over and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. As I walk up, there's like a group of like cigar smoking. There's a cigar bar over there and there's a group of dudes smoking cigars. And they're like, take a picture. Look how far away she is from curb. Get over here. Look. They're like, take picture. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And she was like, clearly like on Paxil or something. Like she was
God.
I'm really just nervous, you know? That was your fault. I'm like, don't know if it was my, but it's horrible. And I haven't had a car now for 10 days because I got that, I'm getting it quote unquote fixed.
Wow.
And it's just like a dent, but it's a lease, so I gotta get it all fixed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's harrowing.
And also that whole,
I'm shaking trying to take photos, trying to take your contact.
Yeah,
down,
the exchange between you and the other person that's happened, it's just never good. No. I remember that when that accident happened, I literally said to him, I was like, well, you shouldn't, I'm not confrontational. And I was like, well, this is your fault. You were tailgating him. Like, and this is crazy. And then, like, he was like, and this is like an older man, a man 20 years older than me, that I ordinarily would call sir. Yeah. I'd be like, no, fuck this. I lost my cool. Because it's like really test who you are, those moments.
Oh, yeah. That's the moment when you feel like an adult, is when you're like dealing with your own mistake.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with like your own action, is when you feel like this is what real life is. That's like the real, that's when people say like, you don't know what real life is. It's like you get in a car accident, you have to deal with it on your own, or like, there's like a weird health thing that you have to deal with like multiple doctors and multiple health insurances.
Yeah.
It's not until that moment when you start to be like, also, this country is fucking weird how everything is run. And clearly, if you just have more money, everything's okay. And it's like humiliating.
And also, you have to deal with this self-righteous gay kid behind you who did nothing wrong, who's been dealing with your shit for fucking decades.
Yeah, he's ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready
to tell you what a fucking fucknut you are.
A decade's worth of ammo into the conversation. Well, you're just like out of the car with a cape on, screaming. Yes,
looking like this in all denim and a mustache. Like
Shallows blasting from the car.
Attack of the Normal Heart.
Wait, we have talked about this previously, so I would be remiss to let you leave High and Mighty without coming up. I saw A Star Is Born.
You
with,
did.
With our friend Allie.
Mm-hmm.
The ally.
The ally, Allie.
That movie was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. The thing is, like, okay, this is crazy.
Did it live up to the hype you created for it based on the trailer?
I would say yes.
And created quite a bit of hype for it.
Well, I think here's the thing. How bad could that movie have been? You know what I mean? It could have been so fucking bad. Think about it. First time director. Who knows if this guy can do that?
Right.
It's got Lady Gaga in a movie, which, I mean, I watched American Horror Story and it was fun, but you didn't get actress from it. That could have been a fucking disaster. The supporting cast on paper looks like a joke.
Yeah, it's Andrew Dice Clay.
Chappelle in like this musical drama. Right. Like, I don't fucking know. Like the rest of the, and like, it's just
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
He's always going to do okay, but it's still a weird
fit. But it's a wild card.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also they're setting it in country music and her name was Allie.
Yeah.
She's a pop star named Allie. I'm like, okay, so we've got every wrong choice being made right now. And then to see the trailer, it was like, wow, this actually looks kind of good. And then the movie, I think, especially the first 45 minutes of the movie are fucking amazing. And then the second half, it's like, it gets a little like melodramatic, which you can
take
or leave.
Which it's supposed to, but
you know, I get people's criticisms of it and I certainly have my own. Like,
You shouldn't go see a country music drama musical and expect it to not get like a little saccharine.
Treacly.
Yeah.
But no, I fucking loved it. And like, I actually did see it four times the first week. Okay. And this is why. So I was interviewing Shangela.
And this is why.
I must explain. Shangela, one of the drag queens that was in the movie, I got to interview on Las Culturistas. And so I got invited to a press screening the night before. So I saw that. I had tickets opening night with all the gays. Like we were like 35 of us were in there. I sat next to like Bowen Yang and Aaron Jackson and like everyone was there.
The funniest, gayest group of guys ever.
I mean, just truly. We were screaming.
Wait, what's Josh's name too?
Sharp.
So I went to random side story real quick. We'll get back to Charleston for the comedy festival.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be like the sloppiest, most alcoholic UCB people. The last year I went, like Aaron and Josh were there. I'm like, this is getting unfair. Now it's like young, handsome, gay guys.
Because
it's a beach trip, so everyone's in bathing suits. I'm like, I liked it better when it was like me, Bobby, Anthony, Antamnik. I felt gross all of a sudden. Like Brandon Gardner's there, like all buff. And
Brandon Gardner, I wonder if he knows how hot he is.
He was my
201 teacher.
He has to feel a little zaddy, right?
He's definitely feeling zaddy, especially these days. You better feel zaddy.
He's going to be a full-blown zaddy.
I know. You better get it together. Oh, man.
So you saw it the second time with a group of gays.
The second time I saw it with a group of gays, and that was that. I went home that Friday, the next day. My mom was like, guess what? I got his tickets to go see A Star Is Born. I was like, all right, we're going to that. So we went that Friday, and then I had promised my friend Sudi that I would see it with her on Sunday.
Oh, that's
so then awesome. I was like, okay, so I've fully seen this movie 4 times in 5 days. I have not seen it since, but I could probably say I know every word.
If I have the screener and we intend than to watch it again.
Did they send out the SAG screeners already?
I don't know if it's SAG or Writers Guild.
Writers Guild?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you're part of too many guilds.
Yeah, you know, you sell one script 5 years ago and you owe $25 a quarter forever.
Fuck. Yeah,
I need to get another writing gig.
I think it's Writers Guild because I think those like nominations are out.
Right, yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, okay.
I love that movie. My wife saw it with her friends and was like, I'm like, I really wanted to see that. And she's like, I'll go with you again.
People go twice.
And she's like, it's really good. And I always joked, like the joke was when she starts doing the trailer, that really got to me. Like, I really liked the sound of it.
It was emotional.
It's emotional. And then in the scene in the movie, when he goes, all you got to do is trust me. And that's why I've added it to my
intro. All you got to do is trust me.
I started tearing up at that moment. And I kind of didn't stop tearing up the whole movie.
I don't blame you.
I was openly, I cried
several times.
I'm like from a family of alcoholics. So like a lot, I was like bringing some weight in there.
Yeah.
And I have like dad and brother issues, like all the classic shit.
It hit on all the elements.
And I thought Gaga was fucking amazing.
She might win her fucking Oscar for it, which is crazy.
She should. And I will just be, the Oscars win if her and Bradley sing that song at, you know what I mean?
And then the Oscars will win.
Right. Like the Oscars benefit from the fact that that song will be performed live by those two on the Oscars.
I'm so fucking pissed because we just, the podcast just announced that we're going on tour and we'd realized we booked a date in San Francisco on the Oscars.
No.
Which is like, who that would come to our show is going to be like, we're also not going to the Oscars.
Oscars and Las Culturistas is like a perfect circle Venn diagram.
And then I thought to myself, maybe we should like play it. Maybe it could be like an Las Culturistas host the Oscars event instead of an I Don't Think So Honey, but now I don't know. Now I'm getting into the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, you can't make any promises at this point.
No.
But let's talk a little bit about this. Las Culturistas going on tour.
We're going on tour. So we do a show called I Don't Think So Honey Live, which you've done.
A blast. Did not know what I was doing at all. Was absolutely fucked up, and I was in too early of a group where I got up and I was
love
like,
it.
Ah!
It's so basically 50 comedians or 30 on our tour in all the cities. They get up and they do a 1 minute rant on something in pop culture that they hate. So we did it the other night at the Region in LA. It was fun. We did it at the Bell House last week in New York. It's been very cool. Every time we come, we've gotten great people to do it. And so now we're taking it on the road and we're going to go to Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, JFL Vancouver, we're doing San Francisco. We're going to go Dallas, Houston, and Austin. We're doing Moon Tower in Austin.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're doing Philly. We're doing Boston. And we're doing DC.
That's awesome. And it's like, can people get tickets at like lastculturistas.com or whatever?
You know, as we record this, tickets came out today. So whenever this comes out, tickets will be out.
Okay.
So like, I don't know where they can get them, but.
When does the tour start? Because this might come out in the new year.
The tour starts in February.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
This might come out in January.
All right,
so
cool.
Yeah. Tour starts in February. Tickets are on sale now. Look for your city.
Yes.
Find it and go see.
And I wish I could tell you where to go look for it, but I don't fucking know.
You'll be able to search Las Culturistas Live.
I'm fucking a monster on my Instagram. I'm always promoting my shit.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it'll
follow,
be there.
Oh, yeah. So what are your at Matt Rogers, though?
You can follow me at Matt Rogers, though, T-H-O. Matt Rogers, though.
Matt Rogers, though. I love that. follow Matt. Go see Matt and Bowen and 30 other comedians do a
which
show.
I'm going to get to work booking pretty soon, I guess.
Because you got to find 30 comedians in Seattle.
Dude, I had to book because Bowen works at SNL now.
Right.
So now I'm like kind of like the de facto Las Culturistas booker.
Yeah.
So like I had to book 50 comedians in New York and LA all for this like week. It's been fucking crazy, but I'm putting my head down and looking for comedians to do it. So if you guys are in those cities and you're a comic, let me know, please.
DM at
DM
Matt Rogers,
me.
Though.
And also send me nudes.
For real.
I've been really into, actually, I was on this podcast and they were like, you don't get nudes from fans? And I was like, no. And they were like, ask. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, fans, send nudes.
Send nudes.
I'm at Gabrus if you have nudes. I prefer boobs over dicks, but whatever.
But listen, he might be at 1.3 on the Kinsey scale.
If you are Henry Cavill, you send me whatever the fuck you want.
Send me whatever you want, seriously. And you fucking come over and break my arm if you want to.
Please. Yo, I wanted to watch Fallout on the plane just to see him again. I'm like losing my mind.
He's handsome. He's subjective.
Yeah. Matt, this has been so fun. Can't wait to see what's next for Las Culturistas and you specifically, sir.
I
can't wait to see you drive.
It'll be messy.
Yeah. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.